We have felt ever since we were there that the thing has been covered up, that the truth was not allowed to be sought out and discovered. Was very concerned that this part wasn't being examined, and I had done some chemical testing in college and in my job at AeroQuip, and so I looked up the FBI's field lab and asked them to show me how their nitrate sniffer worked, and eventually they agreed to do that, and I just happened to have parked this little part outside the door and asked them to swab it and test that in their demonstration, which they did, and the part tested positive for nitrates, upon which they picked up the phone, called somebody, and many seconds, three FBI guys in suits came running in, physically excluded me from the conversation, turned to me and said, the machine has frequent false positives. We will conduct the test again. And they did it four more times, maybe five, and would not let me watch the test. And also, when the test was complete, turned to me and said, all the rest of the tests were negative. We will declare the overall test negative, and the first one that you saw, we'll call it a false positive. So Sunday then, I confronted, we talked with this at Alpha, and they talked with the NTSB on Monday, and they approached the FBI with some concern that maybe the part did need to have further investigation. And the FBI said, all right, we'll send it to our real lab in Washington. And that was Sunday, Monday after the accident, 4 or 5 days later, and the part has not been seen since for about 5 years now. And so we walked over and looked at the part, and I asked him what he thought, and he asked me what I thought, and I said, it looked to me like it's been next to a high explosion. And he says, well, I had considered everything, and I have decided that this happened by hydraulic action on impact of the water. And I looked at him right in the eye and said, well, BS, I said, you know, as well as I, the terminal velocity of these things falling through the atmosphere and their sea levels, 120 to 140 miles an hour. And that kind of velocity does not do this kind of damage to structural aluminum. And looked back at the part, and looked up at me, and he says, hydraulic action on impact with the water. And I said, there was a piece of stringer attached to this, and I said, since when have you seen hydraulic action on impact of the water cause sooting through a hole? And with that, he turned on his heel and stopped off. And one of the more important parts out of the debris field is a keel beam. And the NTSB/FBI has changed the recovery location tag of the keel beam. So that can mean only one thing to me, that they're trying to make the recovery location of the keel beam fit a scenario that they've already decided has happened. And that's not how you do accident investigations. Another thing that was a little peculiar was we were asked to watch video maps at the bottom for some time looking for engines at one point. And in doing this, we were chaperoned, as in everything we did, by an FBI agent, not to be trusted alone. And so we're watching these videotapes of the bottom of the ocean. And I noticed that the time clock stops in a given run. That you're running a path down here, which should be a continuous run, and there's gaps in the time clock. So I look up at our FBI agent chaperone and say, this tape has been edited. He says, no, it hasn't. And I said, well, look at the gaps in the time clock here. There's no reason for those gaps to occur unless the tape's been edited. I want to see the unedited version. No, was the response. And they said they would have trouble getting just the propane fuel air mix to go off. And so they asked them to spice it up a little more. And they had a data tag on their little TV video of this event. And it said simulated vapor. And they explained to the group that it was equivalent to kerosene fumes. And they had spiced it up with propane and hydrogen. Now, I think any of you that have seen the Hindenburg blow up don't agree that propane and hydrogen and kerosene fumes are equivalent to simply kerosene fumes. But that's what our government did. And then they put it on the evening news. And so now everybody has seen that the government's opinion is that this fuel tank of a 747 is easy to blow up, and it'll blow up hard enough to wreck the airplane, because on the evening news they showed this thing blow up in a huge fireball and a big residual fire, which is... It's just about as close to lying to public as you can get. enough to cause a congressional investigation into the investigation? Certainly enough evidence for that. I and several other people have tried to get U.S. Congressman Traficant involved in a congressional investigation. We got fairly close to that, and he all of a sudden quit. Senator John McCain's a pilot. We thought he'd be a friend to the pilot group. Couldn't get him. He seemed to be interested at first, and all of a sudden he wouldn't return any more phone calls or his staff. And so, for whatever reason, it's been successfully covered up. The truth is not known. And there are many people, fortunately, still working on it, trying to discover the truth for future accident prevention, to let the loved ones and family and friends know what happened to the airplane. We feel they have a right to know, since it was never declared a crime scene. And nor did anybody look us in the eye and say, you know, you guys are military people. If we say national security, you know what that means. And we would have known what that meant had they told us that, but they didn't have the courtesy to even do that to us. So here we are in limbo, a dedicated group of people with a mission to seek the truth, obstructed by the government. And now we have a national terrorism war on our hands. And perhaps had the truth been allowed to be brought out at that time, they could have begun our improvements in security 5 years ago, and this event wouldn't have happened.